Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosen with Mark Rohde. No! That's normal Saturday suckage. This is abnormal.
Almost right.
This sucks to suck. That's Trash Panda, Adam Studzinski. And Mark Rohde's... This is Mark Rohde's show, but he's not on that show. But right now he's on this show on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And there's Mark Rohde presented by Dave the Cat.
Dave the Cat right now is on top of my printer, and he is staring out the window, perhaps stalking prey that he will never get to in his life because Dave is an indoor cat.
Dave is an indoor cat. Well, we needed an update on Dave. So Dave is roaming around, and he should be hiding soon because you're using your radio voice in the house, right?
That's right. I am using my radio voice, and we all know that Dave does not. And now he's staring at me. Yes, I'm sorry, Dave. We're talking Bears, okay? I am sorry about that. Yeah, he's looking at me very unpleasantly right now. His ears are twitching. He gets twitchy when he starts to hear me talk about sport. You know why? Because he has figured out, especially during the overnight shows, that when I am doing the overnight show, which Studs can tell you sometimes can turn into a very long monologue, that...
I want you two to have that discussion, but yes, it can. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we were just having some of that off the air, as a matter of fact. But Dave knows that for those 5 hours at a very weird time, he will get no attention from me. He tries to get a little attention, then he's like, screw it. I'm going to go way back in this closet and just hang out. And when I need food, I'll come out really quickly. So Dave, like me, figuring out how to do an overnight show, Dave is figuring out how to deal with me during the overnight show.
You got a cat too, right?
I have two cats, actually.
Okay. Do you think... Studs, let me ask you, do you think it was Dave the Cat that called security on Mark?
I think that sounds like something a cat would do, so yes,
devious.
I think it was.
They're devious,
yes.
Animals.
They are devious. Yes, they can. Just when you think they're the cutest, cuddliest, most wonderful companions, they do go devious on you.
I have, so our male cat, his name's Anchovy, he will...
What's the female cat's name?
Meatball.
Of course.
And then you got a pepperoni somewhere along the line.
Hey, that's personal.
If we get another cat, maybe. Although I've said no more cats. Like, we're at the limit, but
I think I am too, actually. Yeah.
So, anyway, what else? So, Anchovy will, so my girlfriend has like her office with her desk and everything. She'll sit down and do stuff for her business. And every time she does, every single time, the male cat Anchovy will hop up there and just like get up on the laptop, like walk around. Sometimes he'll just lay down on the desk, and then other times he'll just start batting stuff around. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
Oh yeah, yes. No. Dave knows exactly the reference material that I put out in front of me to refer to during the show, and he will stretch his entire body over all of the prep work, and I just kind of throw my arms up, like, you know. And you know how cats are. Cats are better than any other species at looking comfortable and looking cute, and they know what they're doing, and they know that you're not going to move them. Like, what am I going to do now? Well, guess what? We're going note free for the next 2 hours.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Well, I've discovered that we have this spray. It's like a catnip spray. So I'll grab one of his toys and spray it with some of this catnip spray, and that usually distracts him for at least 5 minutes.
Did you guys ever think that, well, Steve, Studs is too young, that when the score opened its doors in whatever, 1992?
1992, Steve? January 2nd, 1992.
That there would be an 8-minute conversation with males discussing their cats. Did you ever think that would occur?
You know what? I think
males
that was
discussing
the dream.
Cats, light them up!
That's right. We're making it okay in 2022 for men to admit they own cats, especially me, a single man, owning a cat.
Yes.
So I think that was the dream.
We've achieved.
This is the dream.
International Women's Week, we've achieved that. We've achieved whatever metrosexuality we might be able to.
Exactly.
So let me ask you something, Mark Rohde, who covers the Bears and sometimes is on this show, but mostly he's on Les Grobstein's overnight shift. The Packers re-signed recreational diarrheaist Aaron Rodgers, and I asked Studs this question, and I wondered if you think if they had not done that, if they had traded Rodgers, would Ryan Poles still have traded Khalil Mack?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, Ryan Poles came in with a plan, and he already has done a good job of... I don't know if fibbing is the right word yet, because Ryan Poles on the first day that he was introduced said that, yes, absolutely, the Bears want to be competitive this, yes, we think we can compete this year. But I think he had made up his mind pretty quickly, or when he went in, maybe he didn't make up his mind that day that he was going to trade Khalil Mack, but he was going to go in and say, okay, who can I trade? Who does have value? He looked at what happened with this Bears team over the, you know, every year since 2018, a wholly underachieving and sometimes bad football team. What can I do to make this team better? And the first guy that he identified as one with value, not somebody that he didn't want, but somebody who has value, and that is Khalil Mack. And then he looked a little further and said, oh, Tariq Cohen is not healthy. He might be healthy when the season. No, okay, we're going to get rid of Tariq Cohen. We're going to free up a little bit of space there. Eddie Goldman, this guy does not fit in a 4-3 defense. And based on the tape, and they're very, very, very serious about watching the tape, especially Matt Eberflus, they looked at Eddie Goldman and said, no, that's probably not going to fit in what we are trying to do right now. I think that all of these moves that Ryan Poles has made so far, they all seem like the right moves. We'll see if he can actually make them good moves, because we don't know. I mean, they are the right things to do, but now he's got to turn them into good. Now what? Okay. Well, I think most people are sort of begrudgingly on board seeing these big name guys go, but now what are you going to turn this into? What are you going to make it into that it wasn't before?
Okay, so a couple of things here, my man. About Tariq Cohen, this is something that I don't think a lot of people were really surprised that they did let him go, especially after he missed. He's been gone a year and a half. So I guess my question really is about him. What happened in his rehab? Do you have any idea? Have you been able to discern from anyone anywhere about what is going on with him? And, I mean, is he ever going to be able to come back? Because ACL injuries, yes, we know that they can take over a year to recover from, but I mean, he got hurt in what was that Atlanta game in 2020, like week 4 of 2020, and he still is. I mean, we never even saw him practice last year.
Yeah, I mean, he was present in practice. I mean, I saw him out there. He was always being very jocular with his teammates and seemingly occasionally looked like he wasn't limping. But I remember covering the early on the OTAs and thinking, should he still be limping? I mean, I'm talking about in the preseason, Studs. And so while the season went on, there was usually about every other week or so, we would ask Matt Nagy, because he was our only like public source on these things, about where he is in his recovery. And it was always the same answer. It was he's working his butt off. I've never seen anybody work this hard. But there was never an answer. The only time that there was a little blip in Matt Nagy's answer, he was asked, is there something more than the torn ACL that we're talking about here? Is there something more complicated? And he just didn't really want to answer that. So I don't know. At this point, I think that if there was something more than a torn ACL, I don't know what the non-benefit of Tariq Cohen just coming out and admitting what was going on. I don't think that that would be a problem. But at this point, it does feel like it could be a career-threatening injury. And I remember talking to some people at the Combine, and we were wondering out loud, and I talked about this on the radio, like he is the recipient of the Ed Block Courage Award, which is distributed to, you know, to all teams, to players who, you know, exemplified, you know, hard work inside and outside of the locker room and all that kind of stuff. We wondered, is this guy even going to be around long enough to collect that award? And lo and behold, he is not. And it's because he didn't pass his physical. So if he's still not passing his physical from an injury that typically he should have been able to play at some point in time last season, one does wonder what the rest of his career might be like. And nobody wants to think about the possibility that somebody as young and still as talented as Tariq Cohen could be missing the rest of his career.
And that does suck, because you look at what he was able to do when healthy and when used properly. He's a true weapon, especially in the modern NFL. So the question then became, as all these moves were made, Mac traded, cuts made, so everyone starts wondering who's next, and people have brought up Eddie Jackson. I personally think that it would be actually a mistake to let him go at this point. I think he'll be back, but I guess my question here is, what do you think they do with Eddie Jackson, if anything, and who else might be next?
Well, I have been saying that Eddie Jackson is one guy. I mean, who knows? I mean, we're starting to get an idea of how Ryan Poles operates, but we still don't know what he thinks about every single player on this roster. So I'm with you. My gut has been that I think Eddie Jackson stays. Eddie Jackson did not have a bad year last year. It was a rough start to his season, but he ended up being, I don't know if productive is the right word, but he was fine. He's still not doing anything close to what he did in 2018, but I don't think that you look at Eddie Jackson and say, you know, that guy is a problem out there. I don't think he was, and I still think he was still the best safety on that team. And I like Tashaun Gipson, and, you know, DeAndre Houston Carson ended up getting injured last year and missing a huge portion of the season. So I tend to agree with you that Eddie Jackson stays. You know, as far as who might be next of any of the big names, I don't know that there is. I mean, I think it's very interesting to consider what may or may not happen along the offensive line. Could there be a surprise with somebody like Cody White here? I don't think so. I think that would probably be a mistake at this point. But, you know, the configuration of the offensive line to me is the next big thing to consider for the Bears and how they will put that all together. But and also then you have the you know, free agency opening up, and obviously Allen Robinson is not the Bears anymore. He is a free agent, and is he somebody they would consider bringing back? But, you know, as I go through the names that are left on the Bears roster, I don't think that there's another big name that is going to be under consideration except for Eddie Jackson, probably.
Robert Quinn?
No, I think Robert Quinn stays. I don't think.
But why? For the same reason you would get rid of Khalil Mack, you would want to cash in any kind of value for a team. After you saw, at least after what I saw, I think the Chargers went the Rams route. Wow, look, that Von Miller thing worked out when you got Aaron Donald there. Hey, we got Bosa. Let's get Mack, and we'll do that. And you're talking about especially the Chargers in the division where every great quarter, every Hall of Fame quarterback lives, and I heard it described as Derek Carr has to be the best worst quarterback in any division ever. And I thought that was a great line.
Top 15 quarterback, worst quarterback in the division.
Worst quarterback, you're right, but he has to be the best worst quarterback in football history in any division. And now you're looking at that, you go, wow, if they got all these quarterbacks, then somebody in that division might want to trade for Robert Quinn, because that's the thing to do. You have to put the quarterbacks on the ground.
Well,
and why are the Bears holding on to Robert Quinn?
The reason I didn't mention Robert Quinn is because I just don't think that the same value would be there. I think, unfortunately, you'd probably be giving him away. Unless, to your point, to your theory, Steve, if one of those teams is desperate enough and they want to overpay for a 32-year-old guy. And I know it sounds ridiculous because he had 18 and a half sacks last year, but you you probably won't get the value. You won't. You won't get the value you got for Khalil Mack, which isn't even astounding. I mean, a second round and a sixth round pick. So, I mean, I don't think that you're going to get that. I don't think it's the same benefit to the salary cap in the way the deals are structured. So unless one of those teams wants to step forward and say, yep, we'll give you a second rounder or the first rounder, then of course you do it. I just don't think that you're going to get the value for him, and you don't just give a guy away no matter what you're doing. And this is a rebuild, and rebuilds can be for 1 year in the NFL. You just don't give guys away for nothing.
Well, you're not giving them away. One of the things that, just to clarify,
what do you think they're going to get? What do you think they're going to get for Robert Quinn?
If I could get a third rounder for Robert Quinn, I would make that deal, and here's why. They take the contract. Eat up all the money you can. Because next year, you're already eating a bunch of... You have some cap relief by trading Khalil Mack. But the key to that deal was the Bears decided not... Unlike the Broncos, the Bears decided not to buy a higher draft pick. They wanted the Chargers to take the money. Here's the contract. You pay the contract, we only need a second rounder. Whereas the Rams gave up a second and third rounder in the same year to the Broncos because the Broncos paid $9 million of the $9.6 million left on Von Miller's contract. There's a lot of money left on Mack's contract, but most of it's in 2023. If you're rebuilding, then have all the money, then suffer all the cap hits you need now. And that way, when you get to 2023, you have Mack's money off, you have Quinn's money off, and if you get a third rounder, maybe you get a second rounder in 2023. For Mack. Maybe it's not this year for Quinn.
How about even better? Why don't you do it like you mentioned Von Miller? Why don't they do it like they did with wait till the trade deadline and maybe you get a second and third rounder the way Von Miller was able to.
But those were bought. That's what the Rams, that's what the Broncos did. They wanted to buy a higher draft pick. And the Bears, Ryan Pohl said, no, I think salary cap is going to be more important next year. We're going to see what other assets we can acquire. So that's why I look at that. Once you've made the Mack move, I don't know why Quinn has to stick around. And I don't see him as, I mean, you only have a small handful of foundational pieces right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we could play this game. Roquan Smith.
One.
Let's play a game.
Yeah, shall we play a game?
Yeah.
Thermonuclear
war.
Yeah.
Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, Jalen
Roquan
Johnson. Roquan Smith. Justin Fields.
David Montgomery.
He'd be like two. If he got four, like the level one, top tier. Justin Fields is not there based on anything but flashes because
exactly.
He sucked last year. He was a quarterback. He was a turnover ATM. You get a turnover. It was awful. But so he's included. Who else?
Let's think. Anybody else on the offense, man? I mean,
Mooney?
I mean, Mooney. Yeah, but the way Poles was talking about Mooney, that's probably right, Studs. I think that,
he's the only receiver on the team, so by default, he's got to be in there.
And he's been good.
He's 1,000 yards last year, yeah.
Yes, 17 games. But, hey, there's no reason to think, Mooney should be discarded in any way, shape. Yeah,
hey, he's awesome in Madden, let me tell you.
Is he? Okay. Now we're speaking your
language. I don't think we need a better scouting report than that, do we?
And then, is there anybody on the offensive line? Like, I would have thought, like, if it had been the previous regime, of course. But, no, there's no, I mean, like, there's guys who you could look at and say, yeah, I'm pretty sure Tevin Jenkins is going to be around. I'm pretty sure Larry Borum's going to be on the roster. But there's no franchise pieces or playing this game.
Put them with Montgomery.
Perfect.
Right,
yes.
On the come. The only one I might argue about because, again, it's Occam's razor. The simplest answer is the obvious answer. With football coaches, the best ability is availability. So has Cody Whitehair been available as often as it could be expected of an offensive lineman?
Yes.
Well, see, I think that's a foundational piece because your line has to start somewhere. Everything else is a guess.
Yeah, and Cody Whitehair is steady. He's very steady. So, like I said earlier, I can't imagine that they would want to mess with him, but who knows? What about...
What about Cole Kmet? Interesting. He's definitely not a foundational piece at this point.
Well,
but
maybe, so you put him there with based on the com with David Montgomery and
same
and Larry Borum and Tevin Jenkins
and you also hope we have an offensive coach now that's going to crazy thought use tight ends. So yeah,
bring back Trey Burton.
Yeah, the great bring back Trey Burton.
Yeah, yeah, right. Trey Burton for sure.
How about Latavius?
We paid Jimmy Graham $10 million to come back to not throw to him. All right, great.
Sure. Except in the end zone occasionally.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, what? Did he even have a touchdown last year?
I don't remember anything about
last year. If he did,
he
had one. He caught one right at the end of the Vikings game, I think. It doesn't matter.
You mean the end of the end?
Yes.
That was the end of the end, yes. Okay, so
what about Latavius Pig Simmons? They brought him back on the one-year tender. Pig Simmons.
I never heard that nickname. I love I love pig nicknames. That's
my
great.
God. You've been shopping at Trader Joe's too often.
I know,
man.
But Pig Simmons is great because Pig and Pork Chop are just great nicknames for offensive linemen.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
That.
Yeah, he embraces it. He is Latavius Pig Simmons, Bears seventh round pick in 2020. He's a great guy, and I sincerely hope that he is on this roster.
Okay, so I need you two guys to have a discussion about disrupting of your lives as working the overnight shift and how that works out. And I have no idea if you can compare where Mark, you're doing it three times a week and Trash Panda is doing it once a week. And I think Trash Panda is in worse shape. Doing it once a week turns your life upside down for 3 days. You almost get into a rhythm, Mark. So how is that been? And I know we discussed the idea that you're sitting there talking in a long monologue and you're going to just launch right into an FM voice doing therapy. You're just going to do therapy. You're going to talk to one person. He's on the couch. And you go,
I was talking to TP, Trash Panda, off the air before he came on. And I was
not Trash Pig.
Yeah, not Trash Pig. No, we never put trash before the name Pig. Panda, we do. Yeah. But in talking to TP, I was very kind of envious of him because he got to do a show, an overnight show, where there was breaking news. And I have yet to do that to where the phones, I get a consistent flow of calls throughout the overnight, but there can be some periods, hours, where there are no calls. And so I wanted to know from his point of view how that was to have had life, like consistent life in the overnight.
It's much easier, let me tell you. It's because I will say also our boss Mitch Rosen has been really great about, hey, you need a break, good replay stuff from during the day,
right?
Which is great and is extremely helpful in because really it's the whole 5 hours is just survival. You're just trying to get through. But yeah, it was so much easier. It was like, oh my God, we had calls for two straight hours to start the show. And then they finally died off around 2 o'clock and they started coming back around 3 and 4. It was great. It was easy.
That's awesome. I look forward to that. Actually, I'm thinking that my Sunday into the Monday overnight might be pretty good just because of all the Bears stuff and the baseball's back and we can actually talk about.
Well, we might get some free agent signings too.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, there's like real stuff finally going on. One segment that I have started doing. And I realized that I could do this as often as I want throughout the overnight. I guess it's a bit. I'm doing something called Grobber Box Score, where I find a random game. Like I say, like for instance, White Sox Royals May of 1978. And I just Google that and it'll spit out a game. And then I just start reading the box scores and those classic names.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'm going to start doing that.
Absolutely. Just make sure you give me credit.
Well, because someone texted on like Thursday or Friday morning and said, hey, do Grobber box score. And I was like, what the heck are you talking about?
Yeah,
that's what I know.
It's awesome because and whatever year you go to the year 2000, whatever, and then you just read these names, you're like, oh, that name and this name and it's just great because that's the kind of thing the Grobber would do organically. Like he would just all of a sudden his brain would just start spitting out random Ivan De Jesus box scores or line scores and things like that. So yeah, and you can do it with any sport, baseball, football, the whole thing, the whole gamut. Sometimes I do it
it with, hey, the Bulls played Detroit, so let's do a Bulls Detroit game from 1982 and just put in a month, and it's awesome. So there's a little trick for you.
Love it.
Do
I
an
like
Expos
that.
Game and,
oh,
and make
I haven't
sure,
done Expos yet.
Make sure they spell. Make sure you have to spell out Grezalanic. That's all I want. That's all I want.
We gotta start working Pluto in a little bit more too.
Yeah. Well, you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There
yes.
You go.
So, you know what? Here's what you could do.
Planet draft.
About 247 or so. Yeah. No, Adam. Here's what you do. You do like just Google Pluto and just start reading from Wikipedia. because I think you could get away with it on the overnight. Just like that. That's like something I've considered. Like if I really lost my mind, I am always prepared to just read from something and just let it like read from to it. Like if I just like completely blanked in the overnight, because there is something Steve called overnight brain. You get overnight brain, which starts to affect you while you're doing the show show.
And
I understand why Grobber had some of the malaprops that he occasionally did. We're all getting there, man. Getting there.
Yeah, so it happened to me. I'll self-report this. I was telling Steve about this earlier.
I want to hear this. This is what Adam heard.
I couldn't remember what time this was, and I didn't have time to grab it anyway before the show. But coming back from one of the breaks on Friday morning, I just doing the phone number, and I started giving out not the score number, not my cell phone number, but my parents' home phone number.
Former,
oh, no.
The landline for you kids at home.
The landline, which Google they still
that.
Have. It's, yeah. the, it's the number we had growing up, and they still have it. But I only got what was even weirder. I only got three numbers in. I stopped myself immediately. But I didn't start with the area code. I started with the prefix, you know, the three numbers after the area code. So for some reason, I just reverted without hesitation, just went straight into there. I don't even remember what I remember my flow in my brain. Is like, okay, give the phone number here. And I just went straight to that number. And I don't know why or where it came from. It was so weird.
You have overnight brain.
Yeah,
that's
that
what
was
that
it.
Is.
It like, had to have been.
It's also been Saturday suckage. I was in the midst of giving out my cell phone number one time when I started with 312 and I didn't go to 644. I went somewhere else and I started giving out. I go, oh, wait, no, stop.
Dude, I did that on the overnight. I got 15 text messages.
You give out your full cell number?
Well, oh, wait,
no.
You heard? You didn't
no,
hear
no.
about that, Steve?
No.
Yeah. He got. How many numbers in did you get? And then someone figured
like 15,
it out.
And they were all like, nobody was like weird or anything. They were all very nice. They're like, hey, Grub, you got your stuff. Like, and it stopped, so they were all cool. Nothing horrible happened, but here's
nobody
what
said,
did happen.
Play Misty for me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell Dave I said hi.
Yeah, it was a lot of that kind of stuff. So there wasn't any of like, I see you, I'm going to find
the
you.
The call is coming from inside the house.
I know where you live, you know, none of that stuff. But I did, I guess there part of me was like, all right, well, lots of people are listening on the overnight. That's a good thing. I definitely don't necessarily want all the extra people calling my cell phone, but they were all nice.
No, do what you did. One Saturday you did that because you were curious here. So on one of the Saturday suckages, you said, because we had not been together for a while, and it was okay. We're back, but we've come out of this thing. But where now are we being listened to? And we were getting all sorts of reports from everywhere, from Florida to California to Washington. It was great. So
yeah, do that. Let's do it right now, guy. Hey, 312-644-6767. Where are you listening to?
Yeah.
To Steve Rosenblum and Adam
and Trash Panda. Yeah.
This is what you call a hit and run by me.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We're going to give out your phone number and we're going to have everybody text their location to 630. And we're going to keep going on from there. All right.
Can you imagine the things we could do to each other to sabotage each other's lives? I could. Oh, man.
You know what? I think that there's a good plot for the next book. That's part of it. That's a subplot anyways. Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Oh, funny. Okay, real quick. My mom just texted
me. Sweet Alice?
She texted me and goes, so that's why we're getting so many spam calls.
Well, if we're doing mom shout outs, I'm going to see Gene and Gary today in Itasca in a little while. I got a little business to attend to, and then I'm going to go out and hang out in Itasca tonight. So
So is Gene going to send Gary to the Jewels for certain foods?
I certainly hope so. I mean, when I go there, I expect more than just hot dogs. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, so, look at you. Wow. Yeah, just throwing down the gauntlet at
Gene.
Or
maybe
Grody.
We go out to, hey, Mom, Dad, maybe we go out to eat tonight. Maybe Mexican. I kind of got a little hankering for Mexican. So there we go.
All right. 847 says Boston.
Nice.
What's that?
Grody told everybody, where are you listening from? So 847 called in and just wrote Boston. All right, Mark.
By the way, look at the top of what I tweeted out. I think that people will be delighted to see the picture that I put up on Twitter. That's it. Bye.
Thanks for stopping by.
See ya.
Mark Grody.
Bye.
There's Mark Grody. He used to be on the show. He was just on the show. He is not on the show now. Maybe later. He does overnights, and he and Trash Panda do overnights. And so I love the whole phone call thing. We had two other texts I wanted you to save, and now I forget what they were. Maybe we'll remember.
I think I remember. We gotta break those, Steve.
Okay.
We're way late.
We'll do that, and then we'll discuss.
Come on the clock.
We'll discuss Carlos Rodon as well. Top of the hour, Rick Camp. We will talk Bulls. They play the Cavs. They gotta win. They must win. They cannot lose. This would be a real pantsing if they lost to this team tonight, and I'll tell you why. And we'll talk to Rick Camp about that as well. And at the 1 o'clock hour, about an hour from now, we'll replay Steve Stone. He was on the score, and he had some great stuff to encourage White Sox fans. And Tony La Russa had some things to say today that we will bring you as soon as we can, because we've run through every stop sign ever in radio. Steve Rosenblum, Trash Panda, Saturday Suckage. We suck, so you don't have to. I think we just proved it. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, thanks to Grody's hit and run. We have people reporting in listening to us from the Virgin Islands and from their bathtub.
You know, my favorite way to listen to Saturday Suckage when on the off occasion that I'm not working on Saturday mornings is playing PS5. I play my PlayStation and I listen to Saturday Suckage. It's a great time.
Wow, look at you multi-platforming. On a single platform.
Oh, yeah. And it's, I usually am playing Madden at that point, too. So, you know, cross sports while listening to sports.
So that's how you can scout the Tariq Cohen and how amazing
he
was.
You know what? This is great. In Madden, I think year three of the franchise, last year, Tariq Cohen's deal, because he's actually healthy in that game. I traded him.
He's healthy in that game.
I traded him to the New England Patriots for a second round pick. It was a steal.
Can Ryan Poles still have that second round pick? He would like that.
I can try. Yeah. Let me call up Bill Belichick and make a deal here.
He's Trash Panda. He's in for Grody, who was just on the show. On his show, he's not on that show. Trash Panda is Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. Speaking of suckage, it would suck if the Bulls lost to the Cavs tonight. We'll tell you why. We'll talk to Rick Camp about it at top of the hour. He is the host of the Bulls postgame. A lot of Bulls postgame shows here on The Score. Tonight's broadcast starts at 6:45 with Chuck's pregame show and then the postgame show. And Rick Camp's also the co-founder, co-host, co-large man on the I'm Fat podcast. And we have a food question for him. But for now, the Carlos Rodon thing. So as we talked about all the White Sox anger, White Sox Twitter anger you were dealing with and fomenting and trying to separate.
See, yeah, I'm the peacemaker of Sox Twitter. I don't take a strong finder. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So, he signed, agreed to whatever is correct. He agreed to 2 years, $44 million with the Giants. And I saw a lot of this on Twitter. Why no qualifying offer? Why wouldn't they do that? Why didn't they do that? So I wasn't sure if that was the original source of the anger. But to straighten that out, the qualifying offer for Carlos Rodon this year would have been $18.4 million. And I think the Sox were scared to death he would have said yes. And I think that would have put a major crimp in what they've budgeted for and what they want to do and what they could rely on. Because if you've seen, now tell me if I'm wrong, Trash Panda Sox fan.
Yes, you're wrong.
That you would have, you have Michael Kopech in the role of Carlos Rodon, moving into a slot in your rotation with questions.
Yes.
Carlos Rodon answered him for 3 months. And then he was basically MIA. You couldn't rely on him for 3 months. They've had this guy for, what, 7 years?
Something. Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay.
2015, and
there hasn't been a year where he hasn't been hurt or he hasn't been a concern. He's always going to be a concern. That Michael Kopech is 2022 for Carlos Rodon. You can't afford many guys like that, especially when there feels like a more impactful, quicker ramp up, where they're even talking about a six-man rotation now just so they don't
overuse Kopech
or any arm, because they need them at the end. Carlos Rodon didn't have it. He wasn't that guy. And Dallas Keuchel, who knows? Yeah, unfortunately, he was healthy.
I think you're right about that, because you don't want two guys in your rotation who you aren't sure you're going to be able to rely on for the whole year. Kopech, I'm hearing murmurs of having an innings limit this year, so he might not be available anyway. And so, yeah, you don't. I am, for the record, perfectly fine with the fact that they didn't. I guess as a fan, you would have liked to see the qualifying offer out there, but I mean, if he took it, now you have him, and like you said, you have Kopech, and you have your other guys in the rotation, and it's. You can't have that.
And
many
you have Crochet.
Marks. And a year, yes, and in a year where you're going for it. You don't want that many question marks in your rotation in a year that this is it. Rick Hahn said it. You're doing everything to try to win the World Series this year. This is it. The window is wide open.
And La Russa today, meeting with reporters, agreed with Hahn. This is from Vinny Duber of Chuggo.
CHGO is what they're calling it. CHGO. Yes. CHGO. Yes.
Says the Sox have guys that can play second base in the outfield, as the pitching and defense will be the key to the team's season. When in doubt, add pitching help. And that's exactly where that $18.4 million would have gone or will go that they might not have had if they had made a qualifying offer to Carlos Rodon. They would look for something more certain, or as certain as you can get when it comes to the volatility and capriciousness of a pitching arm and elbow and all of the attendant joints. All right, we'll take a break when we come back. When we come back, there was a NBA record set by a guy who certainly deserves to be at the top of the class, and he reacted in the typical way you would expect. We'll bring you the sound of that next on Saturday Suckage.
Yes, they know how much I enjoy that sort of thing. I'm going to bring them all in and have them run suicides before the game tomorrow.
Greg Popovich, Spurs coach, the winningest regular season coach in NBA history, victory last night over Utah. So he wins, he just wants to wave at people, walk off the floor, but they won't let him walk off the floor. Opponents, coaches, his own players, they do the bounce thing. He hates this. There's cameras all around him. He really can't escape. And then his players surround him and they do the bouncy thing, which he wants no part of. And then he shows up for the post game. He shows up to do the media afterwards, and you could see he has like championship drench on him. So he's been doused. And that's when he's asked the question, and play it again, studs. This is where he comes up with the everybody has seen how he is celebrated from a man who can be surly or short or whatever it is, and he comes up with this.
Yes, they know how much I enjoy that sort of thing. And I'm going to bring them all in and have them run suicides before the game tomorrow.
Classic pop.
It is. And here's classic. See, this is the Trash Panda's influence on our show, combined with everything else. Saturday Suckage, the Wake and Bake Club. And we're talking about everything from cats to quarterbacks to video games and do your trading and scouting.
Oh, yeah.
And the two. Hey. 224, yeah.
Oh, you want to know another prowess of mine? Salary cap management. I have, in my fourth year of this Bears franchise, I was a little nervous about this because now I'm in the year where I have to extend Justin Fields, who has an MVP under his belt at this point.
Wow.
So
look, between you and Ricky, you got Justin Fields and MVP, and Ricky's got Western.
In his second year.
Yeah.
So anyway, my salary cap for the next season, as I'm getting ready to sign Justin Fields, is over $130 million. That's how much room I have. That's how well.
Is he the only player under contract?
Well, see, the thing is, because this is what happened. The team, I had so little salary cap because of the mess that was left with Ryan Pace.
Yes.
That first year, you have to be so stingy. And so I got used to operating without signing free agents. And so I scouted. I spend way more time than I need to scouting the draft, and I find gems in the draft. So I've scouted and drafted so well that I haven't had to sign free agents hardly at all. So the only thing I've done is just extend people that were already on the team, and now it's resulted in me having just an extraordinary amount of money in my fourth year.
130 million. Wow, that'll carry you through.
I could sign Justin Fields three times if I wanted to.
Well, once will be enough, as long as you can do that and show Ryan Poles how to do that. So 224 texter, because you had mentioned that when you listen, as Grody indicated, or Grody encouraged people, all right, I'm about to end this interview. I'm going to be off the air. Text this show and tell them where you're listening. And then you were talking about listening through your PS5 and playing Madden while listening to us talk football. So 224 texter says, Trash Panda, I'm doing the same thing. I'm just on a PS4. I'm also extremely high. I'm turning Mitch Trubisky into the Pittsburgh Steelers savior. There you go. It requires a bong and whatever magical
smoke weed every day.
Whatever magical salary cap stuff you're doing. So that's it. We have to take a break. We're going to talk about a real basketball game. It's Bulls and Cavs tonight on these very airwaves. 6:45 is Chuck's pregame show. And the Cavs cannot possibly win. The Bulls cannot possibly let the Cavs win this. They cannot. They just cannot. And there are reasons why that should be the case. We'll discuss them with Rick Camp, the looming host of the Bulls postgame show right here on The Score. Steve Rosenblum, Trash Panda with you. Saturday Suck at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.